Hello and welcome along to today's episode of the Let's Colour podcast. And we are very, very pleased to have you back again for another episode. And we have got a corker today, haven't we?
We have, because today's episode is all about significant birthdays and probably the ultimate significant birthday. It's the birthday of our famous furry friend, the Dulux dog, because this year he is going to be 60.
I can't believe that.
I know.
He looks nearly 21.
He certainly does. And I can't believe it because I'm almost as old as the Dulux dog.
No.
It's the truth. It's the truth. And I feel 21.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, this show keeps us young, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Absolutely, the dog's birthday, but even more importantly, it is also 90 years of the Dulux brand. So I know you have been, and we've mentioned it on the show before, You've been in those archives, and today you're going to reveal a little bit more about what you found in those archives.
It's extraordinary. I mean, 90 years of adding colour to the walls and woodwork of UK homes. I mean, that is just quite something. And yes, I've been down in the dusty archives playing with spiders and finding the most incredible stuff. And I've got some stuff here. I bought this because nobody's ever seen this before.
Oh, it's really
exciting.
Nobody
has ever seen this before. So I'm going to show you a few things that I found recently.
And you've got some fabulous facts as well, which I can't wait to hear. However, before we get into all of that good stuff, all of those pictures, all of those great dog facts, and singing happy birthday, of course, which we will do for the viewers and the listeners' delight, which I'm sure they're very excited about. And we're also going to eat some cake later too. What have you been up to? Tell me about what you have been getting yourself into recently.
Well, I'm always in my happy place painting, but I've been helping my daughters. They've moved house into a house rather than a flat.
Grown-up house.
And so I've been helping them decorate, giving them ideas. And actually, they're starting to decorate stuff themselves. They're getting quite good at it. And I had a little moment with them the other day because they said, "Mom, I don't know how to tell you this, you know." And I'm thinking, God, they're both pregnant or something, you know. They're just going to tell me. And actually, it's worse, to be honest, than telling you that they said they wanted to use Faro Ample. Little green paint. And they said to me, "Mum, but we really like the colours. We like the colours." And I said, "Girls, it's not too late to put you up for adoption."
It's not okay.
I know, it's not okay. It's just not okay. So I gave them one of the big colour charts and one of the heritage charts and said, "Just see what you think to these." Anyway, so they kind of like indulged their mother. They ordered a few samples of our paint, Dulux paint, and they ordered a few samples of their rival paints, or, you know, the kind of ones that I wasn't really wanting them to use. And they did actually come back and said, "Oh, Mum, paint's so good. It covers so well." And honestly, it's like music to my ears. And actually, they have decided, Steph, to paint the whole of their house in heritage colours.
Yay!
My work here is done.
It is.
I didn't spend a penny on their education. And I feel, I did teach them how to paint, but I feel my work is done. So, yeah, I've been showing them rather than doing it for them, which is a real kind of, it's a lovely thing to do, you know, showing people how to do stuff and kind of stepping back and seeing the pride on their little faces.
Yeah.
And I think last week we were talking about Molly, the littlest. She's painted the front door in guild green. Oh, God, it's so good. And I watched her do everything. She did all of the sort of step by step. She did all of the boring prep. And she did it really, really well. I did criticise her, of course, because you do, you know.
Poor Molly with the, you know, Dulux creative director staring over her shoulder. Never mind her mum at that.
I know. I had to exit. So Ted had to pull me away because I was just getting really annoying. And I knew I was, but I couldn't help it. But anyway, Steph, that is my updated news. Yeah, traumatising the children. But how about you? Any more news on your cottage?
Well, this week, I have been investigating more about garden, actually. So I'm a tad green-fingered, but not like hugely. So I experimented last year, you'll remember, for those regular listeners of the podcast, with some vegetables. So this time...
From Waitrose? Well,
you know, maybe if they don't go very well, I'll buy those in backup and just be like, look at all my produce. But no vegetables yet because it's not really the season for veg planting. We need to be earlier in the year. However, I've been researching. I have a natural spring pond. And last time I went, there were some little ducks like in it. And I
ducks.
Just thought, they'd be really cute.
Oh,
but so I have been researching a little bit more about ponds. What does one do with a pond? And, you know, like, I mean,
can you extend it to a swimming pond? Could you swim in it?
I don't know. I don't even know how deep it is. I feel like I need to get in this pond. I'm going to get one of those what are they called? Those the things waders. That you, like the waders.
Yeah, the waders.
Like really bright make yellow
sure,
ones, maybe.
Make sure Chris is around to pull you out just in case you get stuck, because that would point, not be a actually. Good look.
Yeah, it's a good
no,
point.
No.
Maybe not then. He'd probably just leave me in there. So yeah, I feel like I need to read up on my ponds. I kind of fancy a bit of, you know, like wildlife and...
I love a pond. Yeah, I just it attracts everything. I see ducks and newts and frogs and little fishes in there. Oh, just you will have such fun with a pond.
Yeah, I can imagine it's really fun. And I'm sure the kids will love it too.
They will.
So I feel like I need to read up a bit more on ponds. But yeah, so I've been mainly doing that. And I've been reading natural spring ponds, and they're a bit chilly, so you possibly don't get as many frogs in there as you might do if it was a normal pond. I don't know. So loads of stuff to read about. It's a whole big adventure.
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. Anyway, I'm a bit jealous, but I'm very excited because we are together here in Castle Chillo.
And again, which I love.
It's fantastic because I know that this is the second in the series, but just to be together, just to see you, Steph, after all that time of just kind of like talking to each other,
it's been like
through the
course.
Screen. I know, it's been really, really lovely. And we have got a cracker of a show today, because this show is all about our favourite furry friend, the Dulux dog, who we actually... I think we refer to him as Digby, don't we? Even though he's had many, many names.
Many names. But yeah, we work with the dog a lot, don't we? Obviously.
Yep.
And the reason we wanted to make this episode specifically was, of course, not only because it's the dog's birthday and it's the brand's birthday, but it is the first question that everyone asks me about where I work.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe the second. Sometimes they mistake it for Durex rather than Dulux, which is a bit embarrassing. But after we get over that, then it's
the
about...
The creative director of Durex?
What a fabulous job!
I'm like, I've heard that said to me on many occasions.
That's
actually
awkward.
Yeah. By a doctor as well. It was asking me. But this is a whole other,
that's
other
a whole
strain
episode.
Of conversation.
Yes, we'll talk about that later. Maybe on a late night edition. On back to the dog. So we work with the Dulux dog a lot, but it is the question that I get asked the most is, have you met the Dulux dog? I'm like, of course I have. Does he live in your office? I'm like, no, he doesn't live in our office.
No.
But loads and loads of questions. So what I would love for you to do for our listeners and for our viewers is to talk a little bit about how our lovely old English sheepdog became our Dulux dog, because you tell the story so well.
Oh, well, it's a magical story. Like all of the kind of wonderful things in life, it's a story of serendipity. So kind of like magical things happening, you know, at the right time, at the right moment. So basically back in the 60s, 61, we were doing an advert, and basically was it, an advert. So it was a little family painting their cottage, and mummy was painting the windows, daddy was painting the doors, and the kids were out in the garden kicking a football. And the guy who was directing the advert, he'd got an old English sheepdog, which were quite popular at the time.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. And every time the kids were kicking the ball up and down the garden, the dog would escape, diving in, poling in, you know, grabbing the ball, rushing around. The kids were just in hysterics, and everybody goes, shh, cut. They get the dog off the set, and they did this several times. And anyway, when they came to edit the film, the advert, every time the Dulux dog, every time the dog came onto set, everybody went, oh, so cute. And that's how the Dulux dog became our famous mascot.
Dog.
Because it became instantly, it was the first animal to appear in an advert on TV. I mean, we were the first to ever advertise on TV, advertise paint on TV. And then we rocked up with the fluffiest, cutest animal on earth. And then he became part of every advert. And there were some amazing adverts. I mean, he appeared with Morecambe and Wise. He appeared with Rolling Stones. He appeared, everywhere. He was like, of his time, he was an absolute rock god in the 60s.
Yeah.
And so it's just a magical accident. Yeah. And even today, I mean, this is, you and I talk about the dog, and, when we first joined and I talked about it, there was always this kind of, people would say, our PR company would say, oh, do you think the dog's a bit old fashioned? Do you think we should get rid of the dog? And as soon as you had a sort of like an idea that you get rid of the dog, we'd do something with the dog, and people just love the Dulux dog. So
they
I'm afraid
do.
whether you love him or hate him or like dogs or cats.
We are never, ever getting rid of our
famous Dulux dog.
Never.
I've got some fantastic names here as well for Dulux dog.
I mean, because that is one of the up there questions, isn't it? What is the name of the dog?
Well, the first
and he's had some great names.
The first dog that we had was a dog that sort of was in the advert. It was called Shepton Daphnis Horsa, or Dash for short, and he dashed around. But probably our most famous kind of iconic dog, a dog that ended up being a Hollywood film star in Digby, the biggest dog in the world, was called Digby. But his real name, or sort of like, you know, show name, was Fernville Lord Digby. And he was the star of Digby, the biggest dog in the world. There are some fantastic names. And the dogs are all from the same lineage. So they've all come from Dash the dog. So they've all got the same kind of like, they've been bred. And they're amazing dogs because they're rock solid. Because the sheepdog is actually not, it's meant to round up sheep. And you know, when you take the dog into a big crowd of people, you're thinking, oh my goodness, he's going to go away. He's going to start rounding people up. He's going to be nipping at their heels like he ordered you. Yeah. But he never does because the dogs are absolutely rock solid. Oh, in 1995 to 2002, we had a dog called Mash. He was called Hurstbank Monster Mash.
Love
and
that.
He was the son of, and his mother was called Queenie, Hurstbank Queenie Girl.
I do love like pedigree dog names. They do always make me laugh.
They're brilliant. My favourite, I don't know if it was your favourite, was a dog called Spud.
Yes, I was going to say.
Oh, Spud.
He was glorious. I loved him.
Just lovely. He was the sweetest dog. Yeah. He kind of like listened to you, and when you asked him to do something, you know, because you do ask the Dulux dog to do silly things, he just kind of like, he kind of went, nodded his head and carried on doing it. But he was called Spud, and his real sort of Sunday best name was Christendor King Edward of Hurstbank. Like King Edward as in potatoes, so Gordon Spud for short.
Actually, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's called King Edward.
Wow.
Isn't that lovely?
You know, that was lost on me. I never would have got that unless you pointed that out. That's a great name.
Yeah, and they've all been rock solid dogs. I suppose you have your favourites because you do have your favourites. And also there is a great truth about dogs being like their owners so we can't really be rude about any of the owners because all of the owners are absolutely fantastic, but some dogs would be very kind of flighty or very sort of, you know, I'm going down a path I probably shouldn't be going down, but there is one dog, I'm going to name no names, but this dog never stops barking. It just never ever stops barking, and its owner never stops talking. It's really difficult.
I'm not naming any others
because there is, although there is only one Dulux dog, there are several Dulux dogs out there that perform Dulux dog tasks all over
the
country.
They do, and and they're absolutely fabulous to work with. I always have the pleasure of working with the current set of Dulux dogs that we've got, and lady dogs. And they're amazing, and the things that we ask them to do, and you know, they are more than happy to oblige. So we've had lots of fun.
Who was the dog on the latest advert? Was that Willow?
No, it's actually a set of two dogs. So it's a mother and daughter. Madison being the mother, and Olivia is her daughter being the second. So it depends on the task that you want the dogs to do sometimes, because you know they are big dogs, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, when you meet a Dulux dog, they are like
they're monster.
Yeah,
like,
and obviously
Shetland ponies.
All of that fur as well. So, but what I always find really amazing is just they are just so graceful. Actually, just the way they move around. So. Sometimes there are some that are a little bit more full of life, I would say. Madison, mummy dog, she's absolutely lovely. We use her a lot for kind of the sitting shot. She's on the front of the current magazine, actually, Let's Colour magazine. And she just is just lovely, you know, sits when you ask her to. She's fantastic. And then there's Olivia, who is the daughter, and she's the one in the latest Simply Refresh ad. And we got her to ride on a skateboard. Which was, I was pretty impressed about, actually.
I saw that, yeah.
I mean, you know, they're all professionally trained dogs and they're amazing in their own right, but they're really beautiful creatures and animals, and they're really fabulous. And of course, the owners and and the people that look after them are equally amazing for doing what they do.
You have to be completely dedicated because it takes hours and hours and hours, to groom the Dulux dog. I mean, yeah, they just take ages to do. And there's something, I mean, we found out a couple of years ago, and this is begetting, you know, it's a sad story, is that that Old English Sheepdog, they're an endangered breed
they
now.
Are.
So
they
aren't many. I mean, there are just around 300 left in the country, and we support, you know, a charity that looks after Old English Sheepdogs.
Yeah.
It's one of our you know, beloved charities, and it's very sad because when you take on a dog like this, you're taking on a kind of like, God, it's a lifestyle choice. It's not a pet. It's way more than a pet. I mean, they are a monster.
Yeah, they are, exactly. You've alluded to already, hours worth of grooming. So our current lady who looks after our Dulux dogs always says, you know, it takes her about 4 hours to groom each of her dogs, you know, but whether it's like kind of, you know, like washing them and then brushing them, and even when, you know, they arrive on set, they have to have like little shoes to put on to stop their feet from getting really muddy. And because they are just, you know, I think if you actually shaved a Dulux dog, it would be like the skinniest dog you've ever seen. So much fur. And then, of course, if it gets wet, then it's a real nightmare because you've got to brush it all again. And so, you know, these dogs come with, you know, an entourage for a reason. And some fantastic accessories, you know, with the little boots and
I remember
umbrellas
the
and what have you.
Yeah, I remember it. Willow who did the I think it was Easy Care campaign, which got absolutely filthy, and then had to shake all over that was the funniest thing. It was absolutely brilliant because it just covered everything, and he kept on covering the dog in mud and then it's shaking. And Willow had a Sunday best name, so Willow's Sunday best name was Molyneux Uptown Girl. Molyneux Uptown Girl. Can you imagine?
Maybe she
Where did
a
Willow come
classy.
From? She was a bit classy. Yeah,
I think she probably was actually. Yeah, but so there we go. Lots of different facts. You've got some bits and pieces to show us as well, haven't you?
I've got some bits and pieces to show. Got some amazing. I've got a few more dog facts, but I've got a few pictures to show you first. I mean, it still happens now. We get people sending in pictures of their dog saying, can my dog be the Dulux dog? And here's one from the 1960s. This is a brilliant picture saying they actually went to Slough HQ, took some pictures of their dog saying, you know, can my dog be the Dulux dog? Actually, the markings are great because the markings are always the same.
Yeah.
So the markings have to be just right. And that actually looks, it's got one of these mucky mouths though.
Yeah.
Old English Sheepdogs always have that really kind of like yellowy mouth, but hey ho, bit of talcum powder that gets rid of that. Here's some lovely pictures from here. Look at that.
It's just lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, so cute.
And I just really love the fact that as you mentioned, people just go out of their way to send us this stuff, and it's just
it's amazing. I've got this huge box of pictures, and all of these have been sent in by people who just love the Dulux dogs. They've got pictures of there he's signing autographs in a local store.
Honestly, whenever there's a Dulux dog at like a store opening, we have them at the kids' Christmas party every year at the office, don't we?
Yeah.
Like lines round the block to kind of have your picture with the Dulux dog.
Here he is
amazing.
With Farrah Fawcett Majors.
Oh, of course. As you do.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, she's got fabulous hair as well.
She has got fabulous hair. There's a sign of the times, the 70s. So they're just lovely. They go on and on. And we still get them in all the time. People will empty out their drawers. I find a picture of the Dulux dog, you know, paw print, and they send it to us. And we just put it in the archive, which is absolutely fantastic. I've got a few things here that is quite funny.
Go on.
When Dash retired, when the first sheepdog retired, 450 Old English Sheepdog owners entered a competition at the Ritz in London to become the next Dulux dog. And it was one of the biggest lineups of Dulux dogs you've ever seen. Do you know, if anybody out there has got a picture of that lineup of Dulux dogs at the Ritz in London, I would love to see it.
Oh,
and then we chose from that, and that's when we chose Digby. Digby, the biggest dog in the world, came from that big lineup. And every year, until about the mid-70s, we would have every couple of years when the Dulux dog sort of retired after 2 or 3 years, we would have another big
what's it called?
An audition. An audition for the Dulux dog, and people would rock up in their hundreds Dulux dogs to get to do the audition. That was absolutely fantastic. Apparently the Dulux dog takes 4 hours to blow dry.
Yeah.
Never mind just wash, to blow dry.
I knew that, yeah. It's quite intensive.
Oh, here, Digby did let himself down a couple of times, though, one of the most famous ones, but he was at the Oval, opening up the cricket at the Oval, and he cocked his leg on the wicket in front of the Duke of Gloucester. Oh. Duke of Gloucester took him for a ride, and all of the papers had this picture of him cocking his leg on the wicket at the Oval.
Gotta go,
That wasn't good. That was not good.
No, not ideal.
What else have we got? Oh, yeah, we said we became a Hollywood star because he played in. So Digby was the star of Digby, the biggest dog in the world. And they did a remake of that recently, didn't they, about 5 years ago, which was great fun.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. We've been trying in the vats at Dulux HQ to get the kind of formula to give a dog to grow it that big, but never managed to crack it.
For shame.
But yeah, that's a good one. Sit down with the kids and watch that one.
Yeah, I will have to. I'll have to dig it out myself. Amazing. Love hearing all about dog facts, because I think we could talk about dogs of all kinds all day long. So let's move on from dogs and actually talk about birthday of Dulux, in fact. So
absolutely.
Dulux this year, 2021, I have to remind myself what year we're in these days, is 90 years old. So you, I know, have been working on a special book to commemorate that. Do you want to talk us through a little bit about the book and what it's for?
Yeah, this is celebrating 90 years of the Dulux brand, 90 years of adding colour to people's lives. And we had this kind of brainchild about 9-10 months ago. And the boss of Dulux just said, you know, wouldn't it be brilliant to have a book to celebrate 90 years? And we have in one of the underneath the R&D labs, so the research and development labs, there is this huge subterranean basement. And it literally looks like, if you've ever seen the film Brazil, Terry Gilliam film, with loads of kind of like, you know, ducting pipes, and it's a kind of, there's a renegade heating engineer in there, and he lives down underneath the kind of city and all of this thing. Well, it looks like that, and it sounds like that, and you literally have to duck underneath pipes to get into a room. You have to have two keys, one to open one room to find the key, and it's just hysterical to get into it. But when you're in there, it's just jam-packed floor to ceiling with the most incredible documentation of the brand and paint recipes and stuff going back to actually what I've got here, Steph. I'm just gonna give you a pair of get Steph to put some white gloves on.
I love wearing the white gloves.
I'm gonna put white gloves on because
it is exciting because this is
a book. And I found this, believe it or not, in the bottom of an old filing cabinet. You will not, honestly, like everything else. I found a signed picture of Princess Anne as well in there. Honestly, love letters to accounts, Valin accounts. I found some terrible stuff. It's all going in the book.
Let's not talk about that.
But here, I've got this little book. It's a little red leather vellum bound book. And in here are the earliest paint recipes of Dulux paint recipes. Now, Dulux became the company that started Dulux was a combination of a company called the Naylor Brothers, who were varnish makers from London, and Nobel Chemical Industries.
That's amazing.
And they got together, and they were the first. The combination of these two companies were the people who first made Dulux. But the Naylor Brothers were artists. I mean, the colours and the varnishes that they created were extraordinary. They were so well known for their beautiful varnish and colours. And this is from 1843, believe it or not. Handwritten recipes and the prices of how much things cost. It's just so beautiful.
Wow, April 30th. I can't actually read what that says. Something black.
I
love these old books and just how beautiful that handwriting is as well.
I know, it's wonderful. So it gives you all of the kind of like, look at this, isn't it beautiful? So it tells you how much things cost. It gives you all the recipes in there. And there's the odd one or two little notes to the wife in the back. Yeah, literally. Honestly, it's so funny. If you go through it, there will be some bits in there. It's really funny. What does it say here? October the 15th, 1884.
Wow.
Can you imagine? So I've got a few of those.
That is that.
And that's the sort of like the sort of furthest heritage. Now, Dulux, the actual paint itself, was was born in 1931. And it was one of the first quick drying alkyd based paints. Now, up until 1931, all paints were kind of, you know, they were made of linseed oil and turpentine and pigment. And basically, when you use them, you had to get somebody to stir for 20 minutes and you had to continually stir while you were painting with it. It took about 24 hours to dry properly. And when Dulux were born, this was a quick drying alkyd paint, dried in about 8 hours. Most incredible, revolutionary paint. Launched it onto the market and to the decorators market, and the decorators just did not trust it.
No.
They didn't like it. They thought, oh, no, don't stir it for 30 hours. Don't get somebody to... And it was launched on the market. It wasn't until 1937 that decorators realised how good it was, and a few decorators started to stock it, and a few decorators merchants started to stock it. So it took a long time to get off the ground. And then the war, 1939, the war struck. And during the war, no decorating was done at all. So nothing was done. But before the war, bits of decorating were done with Dulux. But during the war, nothing really happened. But the war, from 1939 to 1945, the war gave us this amazing period of time. It's like a testing period in a sense. And after the war, people looked at the buildings that had been decorated in this newfangled Dulux paint, and they looked a country mile better than anything that had been decorated in old-fashioned lead-based paint. And that's when Dulux went through the roof, because people had seen that this was a superior product. And so Dulux was born in 1931, but it didn't really take off until after the war, but it was absolutely revolutionary. I've got another little thing to show you here. I get so excited. I'm going red. I'm spitting. I'm going red.
You're going to faint in a minute.
I am going to faint.
No, I love all the goodies, though.
I've got these. You probably don't have to wear gloves to wear these, but I found these. And these are the first ever Dulux colour cards. So this is a shade card from back in the day. And the early shades that Dulux did were all British standard colours. So they were the kind of colours that all paint manufacturers did. But what Dulux did is we realised that colour could be so much more than just a decorative finish. Could actually sort of create a mood, a look and a feel. And we started I know, they're amazing, aren't they? Look how glossy they are. Amazing. They're just beautifully glossy. The colours are absolutely gorgeous. They're really beautiful. And what we did is we started to call colours names. We started to name them and give them a kind of like a look and a feel and a mood. So they became much more than just, you know, red or deep red or rich red. They became something very different.
I love that layout of the book, actually, because it's a real deep dive almost into each of the decades and like what the hero shades were kind of per decade. So what are your kind of favourite chapters? When you were doing your archive research, which ones really jumped out at you?
I love the 30s. I love the original colours, finding all of the original, because the colour that kind of like sums up the 30s is Eau de Nil, which is this beautiful green. Yeah. And I love greens, and greens just work really well. And they just stand the test of time. So we looked at the colours, we didn't refresh them all. I got them all mixed again so that we could see what they look like. And they're so close to the modern greens that we have now. They're just beautiful. So the 30s is just gorgeous. So check that out. You can buy the book now on Amazon, and you can buy it from the Dulux website as well.
Yes,
interesting colour and decorating.
Yeah.
So, and we also looked at what houses looked like in the 30s and what were the real drivers for that colour and why, you know, why we liked those colours. So what was happening in popular culture around the time?
Yeah.
Another of my favourites, they're all really good. The 40s, we were pink, and I suppose I really love the 70s.
Oh, that I bet the 70s is fun. The 70s was a fun chapter to write.
The best, because you get all of these kind of sedate colours that you would look at and you'd recognise, going, oh, yeah, I know. And then the 70s is literally like... It's in your face. Yeah. It's when colour TV was... Everybody could afford a colour TV. I mean, in the 60s, people had colour TVs. You had to be a bit posh. You had to have a bit of money to have a colour TV in the 60s. But in the 70s, everybody had a colour TV. And the novelty of a colour TV was the colour. Mm. And so people would turn the colour dial up to like max, and everything was super saturated. And at that time as well, there were some amazing developments in plastics and acrylics, and Perspex was massive. Yeah. I mean, you think of those big kind of chairs made of orange Perspex, and you know, your kind of radio would have come in jazzy colours. You know, you would have had wet look leather boots, you know, in Perspex. You would have had a plastic Mac. Everything was plastic, and it was an amazing, the colours that we could do in plastics were reflected in the colours that we had in our homes, and also the colours that we saw on TV. And so the 70s was just this crazy, crazy, highly saturated, I mean, colours like poppy and lime juice, sultan, you know, these incredible, yeah, just kind of, you would not cope with them
really
today. You would
crazy
not.
Colours, yeah, they were yeah. Crazy even, colours. Even poppy, like you can still get poppy is quite a popular colour, especially for front doors. And it is, it's in your face red, isn't it?
Yeah, you
couldn't get away from that. So, amazing. And of course, we couldn't finish this section without talking about the 90s. So we have got a special 90s episode actually coming up next week, which we're both incredibly excited for. But 90s would be, what's the colour of the 90s
focused on? I mean, honestly, each chapter of the book, it has this lovely foreword by a really famous person, an influencer who kind of like really owns that decade and has something amazing to say about that decade. And of course, the 90s, it is Sir Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen himself who has been headed up the chapter of the 90s. And of course, the colour is purple because they were just huge colours. Purples and purpley pinks were just huge colours in the 90s. And we had this lovely campaign in the 90s called We Know the Colours That Go. Actually, no, it's 2000.
Slightly later.
But that was a kind of like a lead up, because it was the late 90s that changing rooms were, and it led up into that kind of, it was the period of time where people became completely fearless with colour. Because in the 80s, when you go from the kind of the 60s, the sort of 60s and 70s when colour was super saturated, all about the plastic.
Yeah.
And then we went into the sort of 80s and everything went to natural hints.
Yeah, it was all kind of toned.
Magnolia,
right,
kind
down,
of like apple white, you know, rose white, all of those tints, magnolias and barley white and all that kind of stuff. And then beginning of the 90s, it was still the same. But by the end of the 90s, changing rooms hit our screens and it was...
Colour was back.
It was back with a kind of like, oh, it was celebration. Oh, it was amazing. I mean, Steph, you talked to me about how changing rooms was the thing that kind of got you into this job, really.
Definitely. I must have been like 15 or so when changing rooms came out. And it was just, I think up until then I wanted to be in it, like a fashion designer or like something in design. I'm pretty sure it was fashion design at the time. And, you know, because what a 15-year-old girl doesn't want to do that, really. But then I watched that show and I just thought, like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I could do this in the place that I live. You know, I can apply colour and design to the place I live, and isn't that amazing? So I didn't unfortunately end up following that career like through university. I wanted to, but I had a really sensible conversation with my dad about how interior designers like don't make lots of money, and I thought, oh yeah, that's you've got a really good point there, so I'll do something sensible. But yeah, but like I've come back round to work for a brand that allows me to marry it together. So absolutely loved changing rooms. Yeah. And it's just the absolute dream project to kind of come back and work on it now. Hopefully you will hear and see the passion that exudes from everyone that works here. And we love it, the dog, the brand. It's a great brand with a fantastic legacy, and hopefully one that lasts into the future. But you... Listeners, viewers, can have a book of your own. And you can buy that on Amazon. And
through
the
website. Yeah, go to the website.
And the proceeds of that book go to three different charities, don't they?
Yeah.
One of which is the Old English Sheepdog, charity rescue, I believe it's called. And we'll put the link in the show notes. The Outward Bound Trust is another charity that we support with the book donations. And also the Rainy Day Trust as well, which is equally another fantastic charity. So all documented. And even if you're just a lover, not necessarily of the brand, but just of interiors and everything about kind of colour that we've spoken about today, then you can go and read the book. And it's a great read, isn't it? I haven't got my copy yet, which I'm very upset about. However... imminently, it will be arriving at my doorstep.
It's enormous as well, so it'll be crashing onto your doormat. It's a really lovely coffee table book, so do go and buy it.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's great to know that that is going to a good cause too. So you gave me a specific task today. When you told me that we were going to be having a birthday... Well, you didn't say this, but this is how I interpreted your instructions.
Yeah.
We're having a birthday party for the dog. I was like, oh my God, amazing. So I've read into that, and I've bought cake.
I blooming hope you have.
So
Steph,
what I couldn't get was they don't do old English sheepdog cakes, which I don't know why, because I think they're missing a trick. But however, I did find this dog, and this is Pablo.
Pablo
the pug. So. So he's a more exotic version of our friend.
I mean, it's the same, isn't it? Honestly, cake is cake, Steph. Cake is cake.
I know, so I have bought you a birthday cake, and the old dog here is wearing his party hat. And now you've got yours on as well. Look at that.
Yeah.
And we did blow up balloons. We did blow up balloons. I don't actually like balloons.
I know, so you keep kind of like leaning away from them.
I know, I'm just really not keen.
I'm not going to pop one because like, they make me freak as well a little bit. So let's just leave them well alone. Dogs don't like them. Do you? No.
No.
He doesn't like them.
I do love you in the party hat though. I feel we should wear that for the rest of the episode. and we will be eating Pablo in a short while,
yes.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll do that.
Neatly moving on.
Neatly moving on. I feel like you're going to have to remove your party hat, unfortunately.
And I can put on my stethoscope.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is that part of the show where we take off our party hats and we get serious. Serious, serious business
yes,
now.
Yes, it is.
Welcome, Dr. Dulux.
Welcome.
This is the part of the show where we read out our listener and viewer, in this case, questions and DIY dilemmas and sometimes disasters for us to solve. So are you ready for our first DIY?
Well, I kind of am, Steph. But normally, Steph tells me what she's going to ask. But no, is this going to come as a complete surprise? Because I am the doctor and I know all the answers. So
you're
go
gonna
on, Steph.
You're going to have it up your sleeve.
Fire away.
So our first question today is from Emma, and she is from Northampton. So, hi, Dr. Dulux. I need help. I've just moved into a new home and I want to start decorating as the magnolia has to go. Good for you, Emma. But I've got every colour chart and swatch guide in the world and I still can't decide. Can you help me with some tips on how to start a project, please? This is a good question.
Yeah, it is. I think that people get... I mean, I suppose when you've got magnolia, you don't... it's a blank canvas that you can't get beyond.
Yeah.
So I would always say, go to what you're... you know, leaving in the room. So what are you starting with in the room? What colour is your sofa? What colour is your carpet, your flooring? And then have a look at all of those elements and build from there. And from that, you might have stuff generally. Most people have stuff in their homes that's quite neutral. So wood floor, grey sofa, look at this, we're sitting here, you know.
Yeah.
So we've got natural colours. And that kind of leads you into a neutral scheme, which can be a little bit dull.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest is to choose something of your possessions, something that you really love, like a picture or a cushion or something, and take colours from that, take your colour inspiration from that, because that's the thing that you're drawn to, that's the thing that you love. You can use your visualizer on your phone.
Yes, that's a
visualizer.
Great
they
app.
Are an amazing free app, and what this app does is it can pick colours from the things you love, and it basically shows you colour combinations that you can use on your walls, and then you can use the app to see colour on your walls in real time. It's amazing, and it's just had an upgrade, and it's so good. It's really, really good. So you can start to see how colours work with your furniture. We always need a starting point. Start with the things you love. Get rid of the things you don't love.
Yeah. Start with something you love and always get a tester, because you never know what you think on the screen looks like the perfect colour choice. You get it home and it could not be. So definitely always buy a tester too. Yeah. That will always help. So hope that helped, Emma. Mm-hmm. And do let us know how you get on. Are you ready for your second one?
I am ready, ready, ready.
So this one is from Claire and she is from Marlow. So hi, Dr. Dulux. I am just about to move into a lovely Edwardian home, which sounds fabulous. Mm. And I have fallen in love with some of the original features, like the stained glass windows and the beautiful doors. Can you help me choose a scheme that will complement this style of home, as I'm worried about my more modern tastes clashing with the original details and I want to be sympathetic?
Oh, well, I mean, you can choose Edwardian colours. So there are beautiful Edwardian colours in the Heritage range. However, the Heritage range is a collection of the most popular colours from the past, present and the future. So all of those colours are designed to work perfectly in UK homes with the UK light conditions, and also to sort of really make the most of those architectural features. Now, those architectural features, the reason why you love them is because something isn't distracting you from them, so that your eye is being drawn towards them. So I wouldn't fight with the colours. I would probably give them a beautiful, soft neutral backdrop, and then your eye is always going to go to those architectural details. I might as well, again, use your visualizer and pick out the colors from that stained glass, see what works with those colors, and then you can visualize it on the walls. But basically, I would start with a heritage color chart. Have a look at, in each of the columns of that chart, it starts with light colors, two light colors, there are two mid colors and two deep colors, and the perfect white. And if you take one of those columns and decorate different elements in the room with each with a color from each of those little segments, you'll get this beautiful type of decorating we call tone on tone. Absolute classic. You can never go wrong. It always looks beautiful, and it allows all of the other lovely things that you're going to put into that space to really shine. So you're not overwhelming the decor, and you're keeping it quite crisp, quite contemporary. You don't want it too fussy. And actually, Edwardian decorating wasn't that fussy, but there was quite a lot going on stuff wise and you sound like a really modern person, and you probably don't want so much stuff, so a little bit less color, a little bit less clutter, probably tone on tone. Look at the heritage color chart.
And you, as you said in the beginning, you don't want to distract from those lovely features either. So I think it would be really tempting to go, oh, there's lovely red in that stained glass. Let me do red. And actually you need to kind of have something that complements that, not necessarily fights with it for your attention, because you want all of that attention to be on those lovely features. So I think that's a really great piece of advice, is just make sure that whatever you're doing kind of complements that, and using that structure of the card is going to be really, really great for doing that. So definitely, Claire, check out the Heritage range. That is going to be really up your street. And there are some really fabulous colours in there. And they're not even kind of oldie worldy colours either. They're like colours of today, which I think is really, really important for a modern home. So, some really fantastic advice there. Thank you so much, Dr. Dulux.
Oh, great pleasure.
You may stand down from your doctoring duties. I really must get myself a hat or something these days, because I feel really jealous of your stethoscope there.
You know, get your nurse's hat.
Next time, maybe. Well, that really is bringing us closer towards the end of the show now that we've got Dr. Dulux out of the way. So that means that we are another step closer to eating Pablo as well, which I'm quite excited about.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about that. And what have we got in the next show? What's coming up, Steph?
Yes, we really should do that before we do eat cake. So in the next show, I say this every episode, but I'm like genuinely excited for the next one, because we are doing a 90s throwback episode.
Yes.
And this is, of course, all in honour of the fact that we are that much closer to changing rooms being back on our screens from the 90s. So we have got some goodies to share with everybody, haven't we?
Yeah. It's a kind of teaser trailer, isn't it, really, for the full changing rooms immersion.
And series. We are going to get personal and reveal some of our 90s memories as well. Yes. And so that will be really interesting. Yeah. I'm sure for you, and probably embarrassing for us. But, never mind. that's how it goes. But yeah, so really looking forward to that. And then we're going to do a deep dive into 90s colours, trends, interiors. So I'm really looking forward
to how you can get the look or not.
Or not. Yes. Yes. I think it's possibly the latter. And we're going to be getting hands on. Well, I say we. I'm going to be getting hands on with some.
I'm going to show you how to do some of those techniques. We're going to get some paint out.
So that would be really good. Yes. So really looking forward to that. So if you're listening in right now, I would really suggest tuning in to the viewable version of this, because you will get the full experience in doing that. You can watch me ragging and bagging and whatever
tracking
else
and sponging and stippling and all
that. Sounds fantastic. So,
can't wait.
Yes, but that does bring us to the end of the show.
Yeah, and closer to Pablo the Pug. So everybody listening out there, thank you so much for joining us again for another episode of Let's Colour. Cheers. Oh.